Company of One, episode number 47.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan. Dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
And welcome to the show today. I'm going to interview someone today on how to do Amazon FBA. And I don't even remember what FBA stands for, but this interview kind of blew me away because I ran into Kendall on this, and in a coffee shop, a friend of mine came to a workshop of mine one time about entrepreneurship, and he just, what he's doing shocked me that you could do this and make money. And he's talking about making a living, making a full-time living through Amazon, sourcing products and how he does it. And it's a great interview. I think for those of you struggling to find something to do, listen to Kendall. So we're going to jump right in. And in the show notes, I'm going to put on the details, dalecallahan.com/47. All the links he's talking about should all be there. So don't worry about the links. Just listen to what Kendall has to say. Okay, here we are again today. Welcome you to the show with Kendall Davis, a friend of mine that actually went through a workshop with me, I guess a little over a year ago. And Kendall and I ran into each other in our favorite office, which is a coffee shop, which is where I spend a lot of time. And me and him were discussing that he spends a lot of time there working. But he really intrigued me by what he's doing, because when I first met Kendall, and I'll let you fill in the details here. But when I first met Kendall, he was at a workshop that I was doing, teaching people how to get a job. And he was searching for a new job, a new career. What does he do next? What happens next? And apparently he's taken a different path. And that's I'm always excited, as y'all know that who listen to the show, that this is kind of stuff pumps me up to hear people doing weird stuff. And I thought what Kendall was doing was kind of weird. So welcome to the show, Kendall.
Thanks, Dale. I'm so glad to join you guys.
So first of all, I just kind of give background, because as I was telling you, most of the people who listen to this, they're searching. They're most people are corporate. Most people are very intelligent, well educated, all that kind of great stuff. But they're trying to figure out what's possible. So what happened before you got to what you're doing now?
Well, I was working at a church for many years, and things just didn't turn out like I wanted them to turn out. I'm not going to say I was overworked. I was pretty happy what I was doing, but I have a pretty diverse background in business and music. I went to college, majored in business, and I minored in music. And I ended up in, to make a very long story short, I ended up in church music, and then I ended up in church business. And I wanted to go back to music. I wanted to have the time to do that. I wanted to have time to do more than my job allowed. And about that same time, let me back up a little bit. My wife worked alongside me on church staff, and we worked through some difficulties there, and approximately the same time, a little bit after, there were some talks of some layoffs. So I ended up pursuing more music, a music career outside of my church job, and it ended up leaving the church, my church position. And then a little bit after that, she became laid off. So I was looking for something else to do, for something else to provide income where I could control my own time.
Okay.
And another caveat to that is I really enjoy my church position, but I've always known, I have two engineering brothers, one older, one younger, and I'm the middle child, go figure. And I've always known there's something else out there for me.
Okay. So you kind of walked away because which is a little unusual. I mean, a lot of people get forced into the walk away, you know, and I did, you know, when somebody puts a boot in your rear and says, please go somewhere else and don't show back up, you know, that's a wake up call. But what you're saying kind of relates to what I hear from so many. And even when you were in the workshop with us, you kind of heard that. A lot of people are like, you know, I'm doing stuff. I've got a job or I had a job, but it's not necessarily the coolest thing. Maybe a great company, great people, but it just isn't clicking. So tell me, I mean, just what are you doing now?
Well, as I told you in the coffee shop, I'm selling online, primarily on the Amazon storefront, and then secondary on eBay.
And what are you selling? I mean, what's your niche?
Mainly sell toys, probably about 60% toys, and all kind of under the umbrella of the gift idea, people giving gifts to each other. So Christmas was huge for us. So toys, second would be baby items, and third would be kitchen.
Okay. I mean, this is the thing that caught me, and I'm gonna let you tell that in a minute, but the thing that caught me when you first talking to me, because because I probably said, you're doing what? I probably said those exact words because we'll get into that in a minute about the details about how you're doing what you're doing. But how did this come up? What got you started?
Well, to back up a little bit, there's something, and prior to, I guess, of you making, I don't know if you want to call it a teaching moment or in the class or something, January, February of 2012, a couple things you said really, really hit me. Dale, you had us write down on a sheet of paper, I believe, something like this. You had us, I think, write down on a blank sheet of paper, you know, draw a line in the middle, write down, what do you like to do? What are your hobbies? It doesn't matter, you know, about the money. What would you do if you had enough money, you know, to live on or whatever, on one side of the column? And in the other side of the column, you said, write down, what are you good at? What are your skills? What have you been good at in the past with people, with things? What are you passionate about? What would you do 24 hours a day if you, you know, had your bills paid? And I think you had us go home and just mesh those two. I think that was a study you had, something like that.
Right.
As you remember, okay? Right. And so your question was, how did I get started with this? Well, for years, we've been going to garage sales for fun, family and I. Fridays and Saturdays, we'll take the kids, they pick out toys, and we started to go, and this is back in another life when I, you know, my work life or whatever. We started to, we
I
got started.
I love that you said when I used to work.
Yeah. We started picking up items, and somewhere along the way, I put a few items on eBay and noticed, you know, buy them for a dollar and double my money. And you probably have talked to folks about that who just have a hobby like that. You've probably talked to folks about that who make a good income at that, I'm guessing. So that's kind of how I got started, that buy-sell mentality. And it grew to where, you know, instead of a couple garage sales one Saturday, it grew into like 20 garage sales. And then suddenly my son and I went to about 60 on one Saturday. Wow. And I actually flipped something, you know, a game system, bought it for like 15, sold it for 95 net, you know. And right about that time, I was kind of digging into my prior life in college in economics, you know, in my mind, saying, you know, all you got to do is do this a little bit more and maybe duplicate it, and you can actually make some money. And my wife was like, yeah, I mean, you know, just keep going at it or whatever. So we start on eBay. I have an eBay store.
Okay.
And
Now, let me ask you an eBay store question. Because I've never done an eBay. I've sold stuff on eBay. You know, I've posted, put a product up there, just getting it out of the house, dumping it. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
How much different is that than setting up a store? I mean, what more do I have to do to set up a store? I guess is what I'm asking.
I'll pay like $15.95 a month, and you can attract people to your store through the web rather than just somebody searching for an auction item. That's kind of the difference between an eBay store and an eBay actual auction listing, is you can get people to your store through Google.
So you have a unique URL kind of, yeah, that belongs to you now. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But in terms of there's no web development or anything like that. eBay kind of is doing it all for you. You're just,
yeah,
you're putting up products.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we start doing that, and flash forward a few more months through the summer, a couple summers ago, we started buying golf shirts, started buying clothing, started buying some toys, electronics, modems, appliances, computer speakers. I'm speaking all about my niches that I know a lot about, can grab them from garage sales and flip them over. And quite frankly, the people there, I know when I've had a garage sale here, I'm glad to get rid of it. It's not worth my time to do the research and all that kind of stuff. So it's good for both parties.
Right. Now, when you say these are your niches, so, I mean, you've identified a couple things, and I don't know when you were in the class whether going to garage sales was something you loved. Is that kind of one of the things you...
Yeah, I wrote down in the piece of paper.
Okay. Because, yeah. I mean, it sounds like to me this is something you're an expert at. You've been doing this for years as a hobby. But the things you're buying, you're not just going out there buying anything. You're buying, you know what the heck you're doing.
Right.
You're buying stuff that you kind of know what there's worth. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because if I went there, I would go broke. I mean,
well, Gail, if I tried to go downtown and teach one of your engineering classes, first of all, I'd take my engineering student at Hoover High School with me. But second of all, he'd laugh all the way to the bank while I just killed it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so we all have our expertise, absolutely.
So,
which is really important. I mean, your expertise, you know, people would say, you know, I mean, what you're talking about, what your expertise is, and is what a lot of people would say, there's not really an expertise, but really you're a buyer.
Yep.
You know, in these major market stores, you know, they mm-hmm. send people all over the world to go buy products. You're mm-hmm. doing the same thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could be working for a Macy's or a JCPenney's or a Nordstrom's, and it would be the same animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. So, you know... And the reason I'm pointing that out so directly is because I just find people take for granted their experiences and their abilities that you have that I don't have.
Oh yeah.
So okay. Oh, yeah. So I interrupted you. You're on your eBay store. You started buying golf shirts.
Mm-hmm.
At garage sales.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thrift stores.
Gotcha.
And we'd flip them, we'd buy them for $1 or $2 a piece and flip them for $10, $20, $30 each. And we'd ship 20 or 30 out of just golf shirts. You know, that's just one of the product lines I mentioned earlier, per week. So there are times we'd ship 40, 50, 60 packages out a week.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a pretty good part-time income based on...
Now you guys you're pretty busy. I mean, 40, 50 packages a week.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you're doing it out of the house.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not, if you're doing this on the side, it gets kind of busy, but.
I remember what I said earlier. I said, I can't imagine doing this and having a job.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was the summer. Flashback again. That was summer of 2012. I read an article. And you're like me, you're always looking, you know, forward, reading new, learning new things, trying to focus on what I'm doing right now, but I'm always learning new ways to do things. So there's a lady in Atlanta that's sold 15,000, 20,000 golf shirts. Her name is Susan Wells, the ebaycoach.com. Read an article by her in 2012, summer of 2012, when we were doing this. Linda was still employed, and she was suddenly laid off and then had a good severance package. About that time, I read Susan Will's article on the Amazon FBA program, Amazon Fulfillment by Amazon. I didn't know what it was. And she did a one-page free ebook that people could download. Well, a couple pages, free ebook people could download. And about an experiment she did of spending, she was sold on full-time on eBay. Part-time, I sold part-time, but she sold full-time. And she did a short little article on spending about 4 or 5 hours a week sending books, just books, into the Amazon warehouses, putting them on the Amazon website, holding her breath, and see what she would make. Now, if you go back and talk to Susan Wells, again, she's been an expert, much more than me and a lot of people on eBay for years and years and years. Well, Amazon was new, brand new, and I read that article thinking, because I've probably got more time than she does to do this. So I read about how she would buy books at garage sales and thrift stores and flip them and start to see $200 or $300 checks coming in, and then the checks turned into $1,500, $2,000 checks, depending on how many books you sent. So Linda and I got back from vacation that summer from North Carolina, and lo and behold, there was a Hoover High School book sale. And I was like, I've got this eBay, you know, I'm still part-time at it. She's got a full-time job. I don't have any more time. You hear Dave Ramsey talking about, if there's one thing other than our God you need to think about all the time, it's focus. Focus on what you're doing. Become one good at one thing rather than, you know, really good at five different things. And I was really fighting that back then. Okay. But I knew because of the family's income, we're going to have to do something pretty drastic. So we went to Hoover High School, bought $12 worth of books, and we turned that in about $90. We had a nursing book we bought for $2. Somebody bought it for $85. You know, we bought a couple books for 10 cents. A couple people bought those for $5. So I had some money in my bank account going. And that was 16 months ago, and we've extended to, rather than just books, sending toys, sending sealed board games, sending baby blankets, sending household goods, appliances, sending those all into Amazon and selling on the Amazon website.
And this is Amazon FBA.
Yeah.
Fulfillment by Amazon, okay?
Yeah.
We do a lot of business through Amazon through one of our companies, and it doesn't – I don't think that's what we do. I probably should know, but I don't. But what you're saying, fulfillment, because this is stuff Amazon already carries, the ISBN number and everything is already there. So what you're doing is basically shipping them a box of stuff and entering in the system that you've done that. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a, you know, you teach an entrepreneurship class, so you know as well as my older college professors this idea of time. The idea of duplicating your time, you know, what you can do something, you know, you can, most people can probably earn six figures a year. I think anybody would agree with that, working probably 23 and a half hours a day. They could probably do that pretty easily. You wouldn't get any sleep.
Probably just doing Papa John's pizza. You could probably pull it off. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and the UPS guys do, you know. But it's that duplication of time. The difference between the eBay and the Amazon markets, the difference between the eBay seller experience and the Amazon seller experience, the difference between the eBay and the Amazon incomes based on the time that you put in are extraordinary. You throw a minute of time out in eBay, you know, a couple minutes. You know, I've already said I get the golf shirt. We're outsourcing. That's fun for us, so that's hardly a job. And then we come back, and we have to take pictures of the item. We have to catalog. We have to wash the clothing. We have to catalog it. We have to know where it is after the customer buys it. We have to wait 7 days for the customer to buy it, yada, yada, yada. And then we have to ship it in a box and run to the post office or postal service comes to the house to pick it up. With Amazon, all that is done on the front end. Name XYZ product, and you know, like you said, you box it up all at one time. We spend about a half a day boxing anywhere from 50 to 200 items. The minute those items are at the UPS store or there's a UPS pickup, we wash our hands clean of that whole process, much like you wash your hands clean after you grade papers and you say goodbye to the students for a season.
Yeah, okay.
So you're suddenly taking that time, and Susan Wells found this out very quickly, and I believe she's mostly Amazon right now. And a lot of eBay sellers have gone to mostly Amazon now. eBay always has a place in my heart. You know, I have the store still. There's a lot of things you can sell on eBay, used items, risky items that you still sell on the eBay site. You don't even send them to the Amazon site. But what I'm talking about right now is kind of the duplication of time.
Yeah.
If you understand that.
Yeah. On eBay, you've got a store. It's a branded store under y'all's name or under your company name. But on Amazon, you're not really doing that. When I buy your product on Amazon, I'm probably buying a used book, mm-hmm. and it's going to say shipped by Amazon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I don't have a clue that it came through you.
No.
Or that the money is going to flow back to you. I don't care, right? I mean, unless
you understand the system. I fully understand the system, and I still laugh at, you know, my 12-year-old girl wants a skin for her laptop she just got at the middle school, and she orders it through eBay, and it comes in an Amazon box. And I had been doing this for several months before I got it, and the guy's like, what? Aha. This guy's got, you know, 50,000 of them warehouse. He's using eBay. A lot of my eBay items are stored in my Amazon warehouse. And my eBay client buys it, and it ships from my Amazon warehouse. Now, you can do just a plain box for like $1 a box or something like that. But so you're right. You're right. It's called second. We're all called third-party sellers.
Yes. As
Amazon itself is a company. But then there's third-party sellers, which makes up one-third to one-half of the entire Amazon inventory.
Yeah, yeah, which is what gives Amazon their huge power.
Yeah,
it's just massive.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I know, and I was telling you, you know, when we were having coffee that day, that I have. I mean, it's amazing to me. I have a friend of mine that we kind of help grow his business a little bit. That. He sells gourmet Spanish foods imported from Spain on Amazon. Now he has an Amazon store, so he's actually kind of doing the eBay model where it's kind of weird. Amazon, you can do it 700 different ways, I think, on Amazon, and I'd never heard of what you were talking about until you told me. Because you go to Amazon's page and you scroll down to the very bottom, and it's, you know, I think it's sell with Amazon, and you click there, and then your head just starts to spin.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
there's just
yeah.
like, we'll do business with you any possible way you want to do it. Just click the button you want to go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. But, I mean, so you're going out. I mean, today, where are most of your products coming from? Because you're selling a lot. It sounds like Amazon's kind of becoming the market for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
If for time-wise and probably profit-wise. Where are the products coming from today? You mentioned yard sales and I guess mm-hmm. school book sales. So you're just driving around all day going anywhere that might have a good price.
Well, there's a method to the madness, and I'm not going to name, in most cases, exact retail stores, but retail stores. if anybody knows anything about the retail chain, there's several different levels of prices. We just ate and saw a movie over at the Summit. Okay. You got to have some money to do that, especially pay for the teenagers doing that.
Right. Yeah.
Or you could do it at the Dollar Theater down here and go to Little Caesars.
Right.
It's a huge gap on what you're going to spend.
Huge gap, yeah. Okay, and, and really the only difference is the time the movie's been out, right?
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So we understand. Yep. We understand that. Okay. That gap is much like the gap in the retail chain. There are retail chains that are like the Summit and going out there to Carmike or whatever the theater is and spending $12 at 9 o'clock at night for a movie ticket times five people. they are, you know, Bloomington's.
I feel your. I can just feel your pain as you say it.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. Okay, so retail downtown New York, downtown Chicago, you're going to find those kind of retail chains. Okay, back down to Hoover with the Little Caesars and the $1.50 movie. You've got stores that are like that. There's a huge gap.
Right.
Okay. Okay. And you actually have stores that are kind of under that. Closeout stores where they send their inventory still new. It might be shelf pulls. They might be not necessarily used, but maybe open boxes in these retail stores. Multiply that by the number of cities just in the Southeast, and you've got a whole lot of ways you can source products.
So you're buying some of this stuff brand new off of a retail shelf. I mean,
yes.
I mean, obviously you get to know what you're doing, and this mm-hmm. is not, you know, again, if I went out and started doing this today, I would probably lose money. But, you know, there is a system to the madness, mm-hmm. which you now let me hit Susan Wells.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you downloaded a free ebook to her. Did you go to a course? Did she have a course? Did you pay for training?
We actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned gourmet food because we're actually one of those new things I'm trying – you know, to focus on what I'm doing, but I'm actually stepping outside the box is gourmet food. And she has a webinar on that.
Okay.
She has a webinar on that we're attending.
So you went out and you found, I mean, you're in the system. You kind of know what you're doing. You find somebody who knows a little bit better what you're doing
mm-hmm.
and you learn from them.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of stuff in the technology, you know, tech ventures type stuff, you know, and the term, you know, we always hear of R&D, research and development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the reality is most of it is R&D is rob and duplicate, you know, it's, mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, when we say that tongue in cheek, because not really a lot of the, like, she's making money teaching other people how to do this, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
even though she's given some stuff, you sounds like you learned a lot from her for free.
Oh, yeah. I have.
Which is, you know, what you're kind of a weird market out there right now. So,
as is with most things, you know, I mean, people are selling Amazon FBA program class and webinars and all that for several hundred dollars. You know, I've done all this my own research,
okay.
Which is almost great to make your own mistakes because you won't hopefully not make them again.
Yeah. But even then, even at a couple of hundred dollars, it would have been worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
yeah.
you know, if you wanted to go that route.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're offering value.
Mm-hmm.
They're teaching you how to make money. So as you're going out, again, I'm hearing you kind of know what you're looking for. You know if you walk into some retail chain and they got something brand new on the shelf that this should be, this is going to sell about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though, I mean, because what? I hear what you're saying about the retail. Here's what I would say. Here's Dale's objection. I think here's most people's objection, okay?
Which is great. Go, because
yeah,
that's great. I love objections to this business.
Because
that means less competition.
I mean, let's go with a movie theory, right?
Yeah.
Because we all get that. A movie's released, and after a certain apparent amount of time, or, you know, whether it's a day for some movies – or if it's a long period of time, it moves into a lower racket theater, you know, the matinee type thing. And then after a while, it moves on to DVD and, you know, Netflix type stuff. So there's a process. So, you know, what you're telling me, though, is that you're going to go and get this movie that's been out for some time and it's in a dollar theater and you're going to sell it to me at more than a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
So as the logical consumer that I am, mm-hmm. I'm thinking if I can go to Walmart and or I mean, I guess we're not necessarily talking about Walmart, but we're talking about the lower dollar places or someplace like a thrift store that has stuff in closeout mode. Hey, we're getting rid of junk. And buy it, then I would know it's not in the big store. It's not in Tiffany's. It's not in Macy's. It's not in the big brand stores now. Don't I know that logically? When I'm looking on Amazon to buy it, I mean, tell me the psychology that goes through the buyer.
I didn't take I did not take these type of psychological classes, but I have a very in-depth answer for you. That's pretty short. Okay.
Okay.
Last week, okay, if you put a New Yorker, okay, we're snowed in for the Davis household is snowed in for several days, can't do anything. And everybody else, and you too, you know, everybody, there are cars down the street that were just parked there and stranded, and everybody walked to their house and they didn't pick them up for 3 or 4 days, right?
Right.
If you put a New Yorker or somebody in Chicago, let's say, where's it snowing sort of inches nowadays? Where's it snowing feet? Okay, those people are used to that.
Right.
If you put them in the middle of what, dropped them in the middle of my yard, and gave them my car keys, what are they going to do? What do you think? Beyond, I realize that the roads still aren't salted here. They're used to salted roads and sand and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But probably, what are they going to at least try to do? What are they going to think they can do? And what's their attitude going to be towards us?
Yeah. Well, they're going to assume business is normal, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is just a normal day, a little bit of snow on the ground. No big deal. I mean, you know,
we can't,
barely an inch. You know?
Well, they'll go down the street. We'll be laughing at them. We go, they're completely wrong, but they're thinking they can. They're thinking they can go up to the Piglet Wiggly without crashing. Right. And we tried it. We tried it, and we almost crashed. I thought I could. Okay? I am not other people, and you are not other people. Bluff Park is not Hoover. Hoover is not Montgomery. Montgomery is not Mobile. Mobile is not New York. New York is not Australia. Australia is not Miami. Miami is not Alaska. None of us are Los Angeles.
Right.
And certainly none of us are Peru or Spain or London. I know it sounds crazy, but there's a lot, and your friend in gourmet food understands this. There's a lot of things people cannot get where they are, wherever that may be. The 300 million Amazon consumers, and at least that many on eBay, they cannot get some of the stuff that we can get here.
Interesting point, because they have a worldwide market.
Yeah, that's my first point. My second point is a three syllable word: convenience.
Yes.
I
like that word.
My 12-year-old still thought, because she's like, well, you know, the power's on. We don't have anything to eat. We're snowed in. Davis household didn't go to the store. She's like, we'll order pizza. And honey, pizza's not going to get here till 1 o'clock in the morning. We're not doing that. But she wanted to. So that's my answer to your, you know, what you have to say is people will pay for the convenience, and people will pay a higher price.
People will. You know, I think, you know, it's a three syllable word leads to a two syllable word, which is profit. If I understand my grammar.
Yeah.
One of the stories, we have a homeschooling business, and one of the things we sell on there, we sell educational material, and because of what it is, we use some used college textbooks. Now, we're not like you guys. We're not in the textbook business. We don't want to be in the textbook business. We have a link on our website that says, go to Amazon, probably buying from guys like you. You know, go to Amazon, to the used store. You can buy this book for probably $20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have a link on our website. We don't want to do it so badly. We have the link on our website. And we have in text, it says, we're going to sell, if you buy it from us, we're going to charge you 80. You know, we're telling you we got a 4X markup on it at least. Mm-hmm. And what do? They buy the whole blooming bundle from us every time. You know, and I get it. I do it. You do it. We all do the same thing. It's a matter of convenience. You know, I got to go do two transactions instead of one. And man, Amazon is so dadgum convenient.
They've got a one click button now. Before, if a kid plays around with your phone, something will be at your doorstep in 48 hours. You know, one click button. Don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, well, until the drones come out, it'll be on this doorstep before then.
Exactly, this afternoon.
Yes, my kids love Amazon. They're like, you know, these boxes bring me magic.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, you say all this, and all this makes so much, it makes, you know, Kendall, it makes perfect common sense to you, and it makes perfect, you know, people will hear this, and they're like, well, yeah, that makes sense, what he's saying. But I think, you know, like when I first heard what you're saying, the kind of businesses I'm usually involved in, it's a little shocking. I mean, do you find it a little shocking? Are you over it now?
Yeah, I'm over it.
Because, you know, I mean, it's retail business, and it's what all retail retail business is exactly what you're doing, right? We're buying it from somebody else, and we're going to either put it in a Walmart store and sell it at a low price for a volume, or we're going to put it in a Macy's store and have great customer service and clean floors and all that and sell it at a higher price. I mean, it's just the nature of business. And all you're doing is you're doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it just blows my mind that you can go to a retail store and buy something and make a profit at it. I get the yard sale.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of understand that if you know what you're doing. But that's the part that caught me is if you know what you're doing, you don't really have to go rummaging through the trash.
No. And it becomes sweetened when you know a little bit enough to be dangerous to look for deals online with coupons. And with Mr. Rebates and Ebates and Fat Wallet. That's an automatic percentage off the top. It becomes sweeter when you can do that, and sweeter when you can use coupons in the stores and buy gift cards at a discount and buy those products with a gift card. So that retail price goes way down. You've got a retail price in a discount store to begin with, and then you use a coupon, and then you use a gift card, you know, with loaded with a discount already.
So, I mean, you're finding ways to maximize profit every, just because you're like any business, the more you're in it, the more you learn, you know, what you're doing. Now tell me, because again, we were talking about this and not to keep you too long here, but, you were looking for a job. You started doing this. Are you still looking for a job?
No. No.
What about your wife?
I have a couple independent contracting. I'm not going to call them jobs. They're more like contracts from the past life, you know, through when I was doing this real part time and including music that I do. So in that sense, I'm always open to opportunities. I have the ability to work in a donut shop. I mean, I'm not productive if I'm not in a store or behind my laptop in a donut shop or something. So, you know, I have the ability, I have the freedom to independent contract, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, so you're out and about doing. I mean, what does a day in the life look like? I mean, you got a Monday morning that cranks up, and I'm guessing what you're going to do is you're going to get up at 6 a.m., hurry up and get breakfast, get in the car and fight the traffic to get to the offices. I mean, you do this every day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, Dale. One of the things I wrote down on the left-hand side of that piece of paper you asked us to was I'm a melancholy. I kind of have both my brothers and engineers. So I kind of have a part of me that's really strategic, that really hates to waste time. that loves to maximize time. I'm a planner. I'm messy, my wife will tell you. But, you know, I'm a planner. I like to focus, zoom in on a goal and achieve that goal and just move on. And so, you know, this whole thing, it's not for everybody. I mean, that I'm constantly thinking, and I put it down on paper, and I put it on a computer, and I put it down in an app, you know, reminders of where we're going to be. If eBay and Amazon sellers will tell you, you make money in the buy. If I'm not in a store buying something, short of buying too much, if I have too much stock, it's just like the financial guy trading stocks. You know, if he's on the phone with clients, if he's tried to build clientele, trying to do anything outside of that transaction when he's on the phone, his 300 telephone calls or whatever a day, he's not being productive. Okay. If I'm not in a store, I'm really, or online sourcing, I'm really not productive.
Okay.
You know, you're paid for a lot of different things, you know, what you do, but, you know, if you're a teacher, if you're an instructor, you have to be in front of the class a certain portion of the time, and that's what you're paid for. So I say that because it's a strategic day. It's a very strategic day.
Okay.
I have a percentage. You know, you may, all of us entrepreneurs make 80% of our money 20% of the time, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great.
You know, so I'm constantly attacking that quote, that percentage with my own time, saying, "Is this, you know, me with you today? It's an investment because I'm my wife and I are pursuing an ebook, pursuing some selling information online. So I'm constantly investing. You know, I'm putting my time out. So what am I going to get back? I might get back this much. It's just kind of like the dollar item you buy at the garage sale, and you sold two in the past 12 months. And you know they're going to sell eventually. It's an investment. You put that time. So, you know, back to the way my day is like that. My day is very strategically placed in what we did.
Okay. I mean, and you said that, I don't know, you know, if you've been, now probably when this is going to air is going to be after the fact, but right now, and it is February the 5th when we're doing this recording, but, you know, right now I'm in the middle of doing a 4-part series on the blog podcast where I'm inviting people to come in. I'm creating an information product, and I probably told you this in the coffee shop, and I'm inviting people to create it with me. Mm-hmm. And I told you I was on the, you know, we did a Skype call with some gentleman up there in British Columbia the other day, and he's kind of in that step one, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, yours is kind of, you already kind of know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could put together a workshop and teach us how to do this without thinking twice.
Yeah.
But you will. You'll think twice and three times and four times and beat
you. Yeah.
Because this is, you know, doing the product is different than doing your business. It's it's another learning curve. So, hey, join me in on that. I'm having a blast watching people go through the process. It's kind of weird. Now, but I just really, we'll wrap up here and I'm going to get, after the show, I'm going to get some links and stuff for you so I can get it on the show notes and get all this stuff properly documented. Mm-hmm. But I guess the one thing, what is it for the guy that, or the gal that's kind of like me and you? You know, we're sitting there, work's not working out, or it's not what I thought it would be, or maybe I've just lost my job. And I think my only hope is to go out there and get another gig, or maybe I just want to go do something and pursue my own thing, but I don't think it's possible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you thought this was possible before you got started, but did you?
Not at this level. And I kind of laughed earlier, you know, come hit me with the rebuttals, because the more you do, the less competition there will be. You know, I'll say this is a scam. You know, that's my favorite thing to tell people, because you know, there's only so many stores, but there's enough room for everybody, I think, in this business. the way it's set up, there's enough room for everybody. Somebody said just the other day in a podcast, an FBA podcast I was listening to, who's doing more business than I am really in Atlanta, and he's younger in the business, says that he hired some people to help him, you know, because it's so big. He hired people to go maybe go out and shop for him, go out and box all this stuff up and send it to Amazon FBA. And the podcast leader asked him, you know, aren't you afraid of competition? Aren't you afraid of other people doing this, you know, and taking some of your what you're after, whatever? He said, you know, there's 40% of us, the 300 million Americans that have a job. And then there's and are happy, you know, I guess 40%, something like this. I'll have to go back and listen to it. 40% who have a job and are not happy and want to get out of it, but are stuck there.
Yeah.
And the other 20%, maybe that's not the unemployment rate, but that's people who just waffling around, who really they would have to step up to the plate and do this on their own, you know, and quit their job or, you know, do, you know, something drastic for them to do this. So I would tell somebody, trying to answer your question here, I'd tell somebody that there's just a lot of hope in this sort of business, whether you're talking about really eBay, Amazon, Etsy, Sears.com, any online selling venue, even part-time, with a lot of focus to work yourself out of a job. Yeah. There's a lot of hope.
Yeah, and I agree with the – I don't know what his stats were there when he was saying that, but, he, you know, the stats don't matter. It's the fact of the matter is most of the people aren't going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's what I find. You know, I tell people all the time, I do workshops strictly for entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. startups, you know, and I'll say, you know, we'll have – and these are things people pay money to come to. Mm-hmm. You know, so you would think you put money, you put skin in the game, you're pretty serious.
Oh, yeah.
Probably 10% of them act.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's not to say, you know, me and you pay for a lot of things that are educational that we buy books that we mm-hmm. read and we don't act on them, and that's okay. But a lot of people just are going to not act mm-hmm. because what you're doing does take work. You know, if I did what you do, I would probably hate it. It's not my personality. Mm-hmm. I'm not good at going to stores. I'm not, you know, there's enough detail in there. You would think being an engineer, I'm a detail person. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I would go crazy.
Well, and you know, you hear the it's an old cliche that you know, what do you like to do best? What would you do? What would you do if you had the bills paid? And I've thought that a lot. You're watching these dumb lottery shows, you know. People have. I'm like, what, you know, what would I do? But an even more focused question is, you know, whatever people do, what makes? Because I'm like, I used to sit in school and just watch the clock, and it was even college. You know, it was so slow, and I used to have several part-time jobs and temporary jobs, and you know, back in another life with the clock. What would you do, or what do you do as a hobby or whatever? Where the clock just does this. You know, just it's like a wind up clock, just like this.
Then you know you're in the right spot. Yeah,
that's what I would ask people.
That's a great point. You did school like I did. You watched the clock.
Yeah.
Waited to escape.
Yeah. Now, and part of this is kind of a more in depth answer, I guess, as far as people stepping out doing something like this is. There's so much information out there, and there's so much paid information, and quite frankly, there are some web pages. Almost weekly, I turn to my wife, we get in our inbox, because we're sellers. We get all the new information. You know, I have several mentors that have never met me. I've never met them. I may never meet, and I haven't bought anything from them. But I have read everything they do. I might have, you know, bought a $3 or $4 ebook from them. There's others I get on the phone with and meet at conferences and so forth. But they're, I lost my train of thought. There's so much information out there that at first glance and second glance almost looks scamish because you know, $200 or $300, I'll help you make X amount. And I call, almost laugh again back to the oh yeah it is it's not true.
Yeah.
But you know, the people on the other end wanting to quit a job, seeing all this come across their desk, I'm very cynical. I'm very cynical. We all get the spam, you know. And some of it in any business, in engineering, there's scam artists, you know, in anything. But this particular business, there are some very good people that like nothing more than to help the next person do what they're doing. I can give you, you know, a lot of my coaches and mentors that I follow. And because I don't know anything in this business. I mean, I think if you have that attitude, and if you have that attitude wanting to quit a job and you're serious about it, you have to have that attitude of I don't know anything. There's always more to learn. There's always something different. And that's kind of the thing I'm doing with the gourmet food is it's a whole different way of looking at it.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm part of a mastermind group, and it's been one of the best things I've done. It's a large time commitment, you know, and I'm part of a group. The larger part of that group is a paid group that costs a pretty significant amount of money. But it's just it's so weird when you get around the people in an industry. You do find most people want to help you.
Yeah,
most people are very helpful, very not people that are years ahead of you in terms of income or knowledge. You know, they're very willing to help. And I've found that, I'm sure there's some shady industries out there, but I find that usually you can get past that stuff pretty quickly.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
You know, and ask some people.
Yeah.
Well, Kendall, I have kept you here for longer than I intended, but I mean, this is just intriguing to me. I really appreciate you coming on here and sharing your story with everyone.
Sure. You're welcome.
All right, and you have a great day, Kendall.
Oh, I've really enjoyed it. And any other questions you got, just email me. You can go to davisdeals4u.com. That's my eBay store. You can email me through that.
davisdeals4u. Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
The number 4 in the letter U.
All right. Well, right after the show here, I'm going to grab the rest of your details and make sure I got them all so we can post them text. So thank you very much. Have a
Thanks,
great day.
Kale. All right. Appreciate it. All right.